Welcome to a case study edition of The Drip, brought to you by Glytek. For today's case study podcast, we're focusing on Novant Health and how glycemic care got a boost from the inside.
Yeah, and you know, imagine relying on complex calculus just to save a patient's life at 2 a.m.
Right, using nothing but a piece of scratch paper, a tired brain, and just a whole lot of hope.
Exactly. And I mean, that is actually how the second most dangerous drug in the hospital is being administered right now.
It's terrifying when you really think about it. Today, we are taking a hard look at a fundamental transformation that is, well, that's happening in healthcare right now.
We really are. We are unpacking how inpatient glycemic care is finally evolving from this high-risk manual guessing game into a governed enterprise-level discipline.
Yeah, and we are going to use the Novant Health case study as our cultural starting point for this deep dive, and then, you know, back it up with the hard documented data from Glytek's internal messaging and their clinical outcomes framework.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you are listening to this deep dive, whether you are a chief nursing officer, a chief financial officer, a chief medical officer, or, you know, sitting anywhere in the executive suite, this matters right now.
Oh, 100%. It matters because the baseline for what is acceptable has completely shifted.
Right. Manual protocols are no longer just a clinical headache for your nursing staff.
Yeah.
I mean, they have become a massive financial liability for your entire health system.
Which is a huge paradigm shift. With new CMS mandates making glycemic outcomes financially material, that old hope-based glycemic management is just entirely obsolete.
You simply cannot afford to have extreme clinical variation in how you administer high-alert insulin. You just can't.
No, you really can't. And we are going to get into the financial bottom line shortly because, I mean, the numbers are just staggering.
We really are.
But before we touch the margins, we have to establish that true transformation requires solving the clinical disconnect on the hospital floor.
Oh, for sure. You cannot just mandate clinical improvement from the boardroom and expect it to magically happen at the bedside.
Exactly. There has to be a functional bridge between, you know, administrative strategy and daily clinical practice.
And that bridge is everything. I mean, the inherent risks of the status quo are terrifying when you actually unpack them.
Tell me about it.
For years, hospitals have relied on sliding scale insulin.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those removed from the daily floor operations, sliding scale is essentially a reactionary approach.
Right. You're always playing catch up.
Exactly. You wait for a patient's blood sugar to spike, and then you try to chase it with a fixed dose of insulin based on like a static paper chart.
Which is crazy in modern medicine.
It is. You're always behind the curve.
Yeah.
And then you combine that with unvalidated calculators built into the EHR, and you get extreme clinical variation.
Right. And when you look at the baseline data, protocol compliance with manual workflows averages below 60%.
Below 60%. Let that sink in for a second.
It's wild. Below 60% compliance on a high alert medication that can, you know, literally induce a coma if miscalculated.
Exactly. And that is the exact reality that Dr. Aman Amin was facing as the hospitalist clinical lead at Novant Health.
And Novant is no small operation.
No, not at all. Novant is a massive, not-for-profit integrated system. We were talking about 18 facilities and over 3,400 beds across multiple states.
Okay, I have to pause you there because, you know, things like elbow-to-elbow teaching and cultural initiatives, they sound great in a boardroom.
Sure, yeah.
But when you have a system that 18 facilities, completely disparate processes across units, different hospitals doing things their own localized way culture, doesn't stop a nurse from making a math error during a chaotic shift.
That's a very fair point.
I mean, we all know that in healthcare, culture eats strategy for breakfast. But how is Novant actually scaling this and preventing adverse drug events without hard clinical rails?
Well, that is the core of the issue, right? Culture alone does not stop a math error.
Yeah.
Dr. Amin knew that if they were going to drive adoption of Glytek's Glue Commander platform, they couldn't just drop new software on the floor, send out a mass email, and walk away.
Which happens way too often.
Oh, all the time. He recognized that hierarchical top-down communication completely fails when it comes to actual clinical behavioral change. So he built the Glue Commander Champions program.
Okay, so what does that actually look like on the ground?
So this wasn't just a poster in the break room. This was designating super users who understood exactly what nurses were encountering at the bedside.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. Elbow-to-elbow teaching means a champion is physically standing next to a night shift nurse at the medication dispensing cabinet.
Validating their anxiety, basically.
Exactly. Validating their anxiety about trusting a computer over their own intuition and walking them through the process step by step.
That's powerful.
It really is.
Yeah.
He broke down the historical silos between the IT department, the nurses on the floor, and the bedside providers. But to answer your question about scaling safety, when you combine that ground-level cultural ownership with FDA-cleared decision support, the results become structurally sound.
Okay, let's look at the macro data from the GlideTech framework to quantify what structurally sound actually means in practice.
Let's do it.
Genesis Healthcare deployed this model and saw a 99.8% reduction in severe hyperglycemia.
Wow, that's almost 100%.
Right. That is basically the functional elimination of the hospital's most dangerous glycemic event.
That is incredible.
And Centara Healthcare rolled this out and maintained a 57% reduction across 12 hospitals. So this is not just localized unit-level improvement. It scales across entire health systems.
And it holds steady.
Exactly. And if we want to talk about adverse drug events, Advent Health conducted a head-to-head cardiovascular surgery study comparing GlideCone to a direct competitor, EndoTool.
Oh, interesting. What did they find?
They documented 62.6% fewer preventable hypoglycemia adverse drug events with GlideTech.
You know, the mechanism behind those numbers is what really fascinates me clinically.
How so?
Well, the reason they can achieve a 99.8% reduction is because of the clinical safety moat GlideTech has built.
Right.
GluCommander isn't just a basic app or a static calculator in your EHR. It is a class 2 software as a medical device.
Which is a huge distinction.
Massive. Mm-hmm. It is backed by 50 billion proprietary glycemic data points.
50 billion. That's with a B.
With a B. So instead of just doing static math based on a current blood sugar reading, the algorithm uses those 50 billion data points to anticipate how an individual patient's insulin sensitivity will change over time.
Oh, wow. So it's dynamic.
Exactly. It maps their specific trajectory. That is why they have over 20 years of continuous FDA clearance and zero FDA recalls.
Which is a stark contrast to the competitor we just mentioned, EndoTool, which actually has 3 FDA recalls. Right. When you are managing high alert IV insulin, that safety record isn't just a marketing point. It is the absolute foundation of trust for the clinical staff.
Well, and without that trust, the system just breaks down entirely. But, you know, safety is really only half the equation here.
What do you mean?
Hitting a 99.8% reduction in severe hypoglycemia is virtually impossible if your clinical staff is burning out.
Ah, true.
If a new system requires nurses to jump through 20 different digital hoops just to get a safe dose recommendation, they will inevitably find a workaround.
They always do. Path of least resistance.
Exactly. Fixing glycemic care must directly solve critical workforce and operational throughput issues at the exact same time.
Which brings us to a fundamental operational truth, and this is a great analogy from the framework. Manual insulin protocols aren't a workflow. They're a liability wearing a lab coat.
Ooh, a liability wearing a lab coat. I love that.
Right. Because relying on an exhausted nurse to do complex dosing calculations at 2 a.m. on a high alert medication is a systems failure. It is not a staffing problem.
Absolutely. The cognitive load we place on clinicians with manual protocols is entirely unsustainable.
100%.
But by shifting that mathematical and cognitive burden from the frontline nurse to the GlideCone platform's decision support pillar, the entire workflow transforms.
How much does it actually change things on the floor?
Well, the algorithm handles the complex calculations based on the patient's unique sensitivity curve, right?
Yeah.
And the clinician simply reviews and confirms.
Taking the math right out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. The impact on the front line is immediate and documented. At Eden Health Waterman, they experienced a 75% reduction in first-time calls to providers.
Wait, 75%?
75%.
Imagine being a hospitalist on call and getting 75% of those routine middle-of-the-night insulin pages just completely eliminated.
It's life-changing for them. Furthermore, they saw a 30% reduction in time spent on insulin management altogether.
Time saved is critical, obviously, but let's connect that operational efficiency directly to medication safety. When you pull the manual math out of the equation, what happens to the actual error rate?
It plummets. Because they removed that manual calculation burden, Advent Health Waterman saw a 54% reduction in wrong dose ordering.
Wow, over half.
Yeah, and they achieved an 87% reduction in the failure to adjust insulin in a timely manner.
87%. That is huge for avoiding stacking.
Exactly. It practically eliminates the phenomenon of insulin stacking, which is where a patient gets multiple overlapping doses because the previous doses haven't peaked yet.
Right, which is a massive driver of severe hypoglycemia.
Precisely. And over at Texas Health Hughley, the results shifted their entire clinical operating model. Physician insulin order entry plummeted from 80% down to 28%.
Okay, that is a massive shift in responsibility. If physicians are only entering 28% of the orders, it means the pharmacists and the nurses are initiating them based on the algorithmic recommendation.
Exactly. Pharmacists initiated 33% of IV insulin orders, and nurses initiated 39%.
That's incredible.
They were empowered to work at the top of their license because they had an FDA-cleared framework actively supporting them. The clinical outcomes improved dramatically, while the physician burden just dropped.
Let's translate that nursing efficiency into hospital-wide operational metrics because, you know, this is where the conversation moves from the nurse's station directly to the boardroom.
Let's hear the numbers.
Across deployed sites, the data shows up to 72 minutes of nursing time saved per IV insulin patient per shift.
72 minutes per shift.
Per shift. If you are a COO or a CNO looking at workforce throughput, finding 72 minutes per shift for a highly acute patient is literally like striking gold.
Oh, without a doubt.
That is over an hour of time that goes directly back into patient care, patient monitoring, and throughput, not into wrestling with a paper protocol or second-guessing some generic EHR calculator.
And think about the retention conversation for nursing leadership here.
Right, burnout is huge.
Exactly. You stop burning out your strongest, most experienced nurses. I mean, in every unit, there is always one veteran nurse who inevitably becomes the unofficial insulin expert.
Yes, the go-to person.
Right. Every junior nurse goes to them to double-check their math. When you automate that safely, you lift a massive, uncompensated burden off your absolute best staff.
So true. All right, let's attach a dollar sign to this. We've established that clinical safety is improved to the level of a 99.8% reduction in severe hypoglycemia, and nursing workload is reduced by 72 minutes per shift.
Right.
How does this translate into a defensible return on investment for the CFO? Because, frankly, financial executives are facing an immediate regulatory threat right now.
The CMS mandates.
Exactly. Severe hypoglycemia and severe hyperglycemia are now CMS hospital harm electronic clinical quality measures, commonly referred to as ECQMs.
And CMS isn't just collecting this data to, like, monitor trends in the background. This has teeth.
Serious teeth. Hospitals that fail to report on these glycemic ECQMs face a 25% forfeiture of their annual Medicare payment update.
25%. That is a devastating hit.
It is a catastrophic hit to a hospital's operating margin, and the penalty compounds annually.
Wow.
So the financial exposure is massive, and it's directly tied to clinical metrics that the vast majority of hospitals are currently trying to manage with scratch paper and guesswork.
So what is the financial proof when a system actually fixes this?
While Riverside Healthcare documented over $2.6 million in annualized avoided costs after deploying GlucoMander.
$2.6
million. Yeah, which represents a 467% return on investment.
That's unbelievable.
And Kauai Delta went even further, documenting an astounding $9.7 million in annualized savings.
Jeez.
And when you look at operational throughput, there is a 3.18-day average length of stay reduction.
You know, let's dig into that length of stay metric for a second because it gets even more pronounced with high acuity patients.
Okay, break that down.
For high-risk diagnostic categories, specifically AMI, CHF, and CABG patients, they see a 35 to 68% reduction in 30-day readmissions.
Okay, break those acronyms down for us. Why is blood sugar so critical for those specific patients?
Good call. So we are talking about acute myocardial infarctions, which are heart attacks. CHF is congestive heart failure, and CKBG refers to coronary artery bypass grafts, so open heart surgery.
Very high stakes procedures.
Incredibly high stress cardiovascular events. In these scenarios, blood sugar volatility is uniquely deadly.
How so?
Extreme fluctuations in glucose drive vascular inflammation. It actually destroys the body's ability to heal at the cellular level and severely compromises the immune system.
Which obviously leads to complications.
Right, opening the door for surgical site infections. Mm-hmm. But when you stabilize their glucose, you are fundamentally accelerating their healing process.
Makes total sense.
That is exactly why you see up to a 68% drop in readmissions. You are basically sending a structurally healthier patient home.
I want to play the role of the skeptical CFO for a moment here.
Go for it.
Financial executives are pitched projected software ROI every single day. Vendors bring in these beautiful spreadsheets showing millions in hypothetical savings that just never actually materialize on the hospital's balance sheet.
Oh, totally.
So how is a 467% ROI at Riverside actually defensible to a skeptical board?
It's a completely valid skepticism.
Yeah.
I mean, healthcare is littered with software that overpromised and underdelivered.
It is. And that is exactly why Glitech changed their commercial model to bypass that skepticism entirely.
How do you mean?
They aren't just selling a traditional software license where the vendor invoices you on the first of the month, you know, regardless of whether the tool actually works.
Oh, okay.
They operate on a value-based partnership. They literally tie their earnings to the documented clinical outcomes the platform produces inside your specific hospital.
Wait, really? They put their revenue on the line?
Yes. They offer three tiers: platform, oversight, and ownership, operating under the principle of zero events or zero invoice.
That is a bold claim.
It is. They establish your hospital's baseline. They define an outcome commitment with 99% confidence based on their macro data. And they tie their payment to hitting that exact performance metric.
Wow.
Think of it this way. It's essentially like buying a car where the manufacturer agrees to pay your medical bills if the brakes ever fail.
That's a great way to look at it.
Right. If a vendor is willing to put their own revenue on the line for your clinical outcomes, that completely flips the traditional vendor dynamic. That is a true structural guarantee, not just a model projection in a spreadsheet.
You know, that changes everything for a clinical leader trying to get budget approval.
100%.
You're no longer alone in defending the program when results are reported up to the board, because the vendor is financially on the hook right alongside you.
Exactly.
But, you know, it requires synthesis across the whole organization to work. Intelligent glycemic management cannot be treated as a localized point tool that you just drop onto the ICU and forget about.
Right. It has to be systemic.
It has to be an enterprise-wide discipline. What Novant Health and Dr. Umman proved is that you absolutely need clinical ownership and open communication to change the actual behavior on the floor.
You need those elbow-to-elbow champions.
Precisely. Yeah. You need the champions.
But that behavior change must be supported by FDA-cleared infrastructure. You cannot out-train a bad system.
No, you can't.
The baseline for acceptable care has officially moved. We have the data right in front of us. Genesis proved that a 99.8% reduction in severe hypoglycemia is clinically possible.
Yep.
Centara proved that those results hold at scale across 12 hospitals. Riverside proved it saves millions of dollars in avoided costs.
The proof is there.
It really is. If you are a hospital leader listening to this, inaction means you are actively choosing to operate below a documented standard that peer institutions are already meeting.
Well said.
Relying on retrospective reporting and manual math at the bedside is no longer just a clinical concern. It is a direct, quantifiable threat to your workforce sustainability and your bottom line.
I agree completely. Here is a final thought to mull over as you audit your own organization's technology stack this quarter.
Let's hear it.
Consider the software contracts your hospital currently holds for clinical decision support across all departments. If your software vendors aren't willing to tie their monthly invoices directly to the documented elimination of patient harm, what does that say about the reliability of the tools your frontline staff are using every single day?
Thanks for joining us today on The Drip, a Glitech podcast production. For the full white papers and case studies discussed today, visit glitech.com.